Heavenly Father, we do give you great thanks and praise that we can gather around your word. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Lord, show us from the Spirit's sword today his word, these wonderful truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christmas is well and truly on its way now, isn't it? And every year, things get earlier. And I think under coronavirus, it's got even earlier still, hasn't it? That people putting up Christmas trees in November in their houses. I won't ask you to put your hands up, but I know some of you have done it in November. Even before December started, you had your Christmas tree up in your house. The adverts have all come out for each supermarket, and it seems this year there are even more supermarkets than there were last year. And there's glitter, gifts, Santa. Santa's allowed to meet children without a mask on. And all this is going on. And yet Jesus seems to be missing. We had Black Friday, didn't we? It was online. And since then, shops have opened again and people have been able to go to shops. Big queues outside Primark and things like that. Look, great focus on buying stuff. Let's buy as much stuff as we can, people think, as if it somehow will bring peace on earth. And there's no Jesus. And maybe you're not fooled by any of this, but for you, family is going to be all important. And you've worked out, although it's been hard, the three families that will be in your house at Christmas. And everything else goes into second place, including Jesus. We're looking at a passage today that's incredibly familiar, isn't it? It's a real nostalgia passage from school plays and carol services. A bit like a Christmas chocolate for many people. You savour it and then just go on for another one and forget it. But for Luke, it's key in his account of Jesus because it establishes the identity of Jesus. It's right at the beginning of his book. Who is Jesus? Where has he come from? And Luke gives us in this passage three S's. Saviour, Son, Sovereign. I'm not going to preach on the three S's today. That's another time. Who is Jesus? Where's he from? But with that come a whole lot of questions. People say, is it historical? What about the angels? Virgin birth? How is he of the line of David? There are great answers for you and your friends in the passage. And I want this passage to change your Christmas. I want this passage to change your Christmas this year. This Christmas, who will get your honour? This Christmas, who will get your attention? Let's honour Jesus. Not the angels, not Mary, not other distractions. But Jesus, the human divine Son, the eternal King. How will we honour him? In humble, obedient service. And over virtual coffee, which I hope you'll dash home for on Zoom, why don't you ask people in a breakout room this question? How are you going to copy Mary this Christmas? How are you going to copy Mary this Christmas? There are five scenes in the passage. And here's the first, the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary in verses 26 and 27. Now the word angel just means messenger. It's a Greek word, angelos, angel. It's a messenger. And Gabriel himself has turned up in the Bible in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 8 and 9, as a very special messenger from God. And we're told specifically in Daniel 8, he looks like a man. Now I'm a man, just have a quick look. Oh, no wings. Say no more, David. All we need to know about Gabriel is in verse 19 in the previous passage. The angel said to Zechariah, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. He's God's messenger. And then we get Mary. And Mary is a young, unmarried woman. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, Mary is a virgin. means she's not had sex with anyone. And in those days, that wasn't a surprise. She's pledged to be married to Joseph. And in those days, that was a strong thing. It was more than an engagement. You'd need some kind of legal device to get out of it. And Joseph, we're told, is of the line of David. He's a descendant of David. Now remember that for later on. Now straight away, someone will say, how is this historical? It mentions an angel visiting someone. Do you expect us to believe that? And the answer is, Luke's answer, is yes. Yes, I expect you to believe this because, verse 4, chapter 1, I've written this so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Luke has given us a historical account. So someone might say, well, isn't it just fantastical, angels visiting and all that kind of thing? Well, yes, it is. But if God is about to enter creation as a human being, don't you think something a little bit strange might go with it? And then there are some people who, once we mention angels, start getting a little bit excited and start thinking about worshipping angels and having books all about angels and that kind of thing and praying to them for protection. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. He's only a messenger. Honour the Son. We have Jesus, who, if you read your fixated this morning, you will have heard, is so much better than the angels. So, this Christmas, who will get your best attention? Let's honour Jesus, not the angels or Mary. We'll go from the visit to the greeting. The greeting. Greeting in verse 29, 28-30. The angel went to Mary and said, greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favour with God. You will conceive, and so on. Greetings to the highly favoured Mary. Well, what does he mean by saying that Mary is highly favoured? It's quite simple, isn't it? God has decided in his grace to choose this young woman and bestow an amazing blessing on her. Greetings, you who are highly favoured by God. The Lord is with you. Now, what's the blessing that Mary is given? God has decided in his grace to bestow a blessing on this young woman. What is that blessing? Well, it is that she will play a vital part, a vital role in God's plan of salvation. So, someone might say, should we worship Mary? Should we pray to her? Well, it's like the angel, isn't it? She plays a part in the plan. She's not the goal of the plan. She's a stepping stone to something that's greater. Imagine, you have to use a lot of imagination for this. Imagine that I'm invited to be the supporting act for a Little Mix concert in the Royal Albert Hall once they're allowed to meet and have concerts there. And I go along with Maynard and my guitar, and we play I'm an Angel Ooh as a supporting number, and everyone's waiting for Little Mix to come on. And as I leave the stage, having played I'm an Angel Ooh on my guitar, everyone in the whole Royal Albert Hall gets out of their seat and comes chasing after me to buy a Maynard CD. And Little Mix enter the stage, and there's no one in there. Thank you. Laugh. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's not going to happen, is it? I'm a supporting act. Everyone wants to see Little Mix. And that's what should be going on with Mary and the angel. They're special. They're important. But they're just supporting acts. Now think about Mary. Mary had other children with Joseph. Yes, she had sex with Joseph. Mary sinned in her life. This is tough to hear for some people. If you've been brought up a Catholic. Mary sinned. Mary was a normal woman. Mary died in the normal way. And her body was put in the ground somehow. So she's special and important, but she's a stepping stone to something greater. Later in Luke's Gospel, he will tell us about a little incident where Mary goes to meet with Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 27. As Jesus was saying something, a woman in the crowd called out. Oh, sorry, this is a different incident. There's an incident where she goes to meet, but this is another one. A woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So, is Mary blessed? Sure, but if you hear the word of God and obey it, that's what's important to Jesus. So, this Christmas, who will get your best attention? Let's honour Jesus, and not the angels, and not Mary, and not the other distractions either. Third scene in this amazing event, the message, the three S's, Saviour, Son, and Sovereign. And this is right at the heart of the wonderful passage that we've got here. Verse 31, the angel continues, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you ought to call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Saviour, Son, Sovereign. And that's why at Christmas we honour Jesus. How could you miss him out? How do the adverts miss out this one? How do all the shops not have Jesus in their windows when they're celebrating Christmas? He's better than any flat screen or PlayStation 5, isn't he? He's a saviour. Verse 31, "You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus." Jesus, which is the name Yeshua, which is Joshua. The Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Now, car companies have to be very careful when they choose names for their cars. If you're an ancient person like me, you'll remember the Vauxhall Nova. It had to change its name in Spain because in Spain, Nova is Nova. Doesn't go. Not a great name for a car. So, and God is very careful about how he chooses names too. He's named this baby Jesus because it means the Lord is salvation. God's purpose is clear with Jesus. Rescue. Rescue for the world. He's a saviour. He's the Son. Verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. This is very special, and the full implications of this weren't clear to Mary as she heard this, or nor to us as we read through Luke's Gospel and get to this stage. But if we read the rest of the Bible, we see that this means that Jesus is divine. He's not just a human. He's God as well. We also discover that he's always been the Son. He didn't just become the Son around about 6 BC. He's eternally been the Son before creation, indeed. He was the Son of God. He's existed in this relationship with God the Father for the whole of time, before time. So for now, as we hear this, we are to respond with awe and wonder as we hear that this child is to be the Son of the Most High. And then he's a sovereign, the Saviour, the Son, and the Sovereign. Verse 32 again. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Throne, reign, kingdom. In chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, David, King David, has a message from the Lord that he is going to have a son. A descendant who will have an everlasting kingdom. And you've got to wait quite a long time in the Bible for it to happen, but here it is. Jesus is the one who will be the king of the kingdom that will never end, the kingdom of God, where all of God's purposes reach their fulfillment in him. Do you remember how we described the kingdom of God? God's people in God's place, under God's rule and blessing. This is what Jesus is come to bring in complete fulfillment. God's people under God's place, under God's rule and blessing. And Jesus, the Saviour, the Son, the Sovereign, is going to bring this about. Hang on a moment, says somebody. How can he be descended from David? Because isn't his father God and not Joseph? Well, I don't think Luke is that stupid that that's a problem for him. Three things about that. One, Luke isn't daft. It must work. Two, perhaps Mary is also the line of David. Three, maybe in the way they worked these things out back in the first century, adoption by Joseph is enough for him to be the line of David. It's not a big issue. What's a big issue is that he is the Saviour, the Son, the Sovereign. You'll conceive, Mary. You'll give birth to a son. You'll call him Jesus. The Lord is salvation. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This Christmas, who is going to get your attention? Or what is going to get your attention? Not the stuff in the shops, surely. Not the angels, not Mary. Honour Jesus. And now, the most amazing part, the miracle, divine conception. And Mary has a reasonable question to ask here, verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? She doesn't doubt the angel, as Zechariah did back in verse 18. This is practical curiosity. And the answer is that in a mysterious divine way, Mary will conceive. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born will be called the Son of God. Can God do this? Is he capable of it? Verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Yeah, God can do it. And here's the reason. Verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. What God says, he can and he will do. What God says, he can and he will do. Commenting on this passage, J.C. Ryle writes this. He's a Bishop of Liverpool in the 19th century. He says, nothing is too hard for the Lord. There is no sin too black and bad to be pardoned. The blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. There's no heart too hard and wicked to be changed. The heart of stone can be made a heart of flesh. There is no work too hard for a believer to do. We may do all things through Christ strengthening us. There is no trial too hard to be borne. The grace of God is sufficient for us. There's no promise too great to be fulfilled. Christ's words never pass away, and what he has promised, he's able to perform. There's no difficulty too great for us as believers to overcome. When God is for us, who shall be against us? Issues we face, the word of the Lord, what God says, he can and he will do. Now, people come up with a number of issues from this passage. And this particular part, the divine conception. Some will say, the word virgin just means young woman. She wasn't actually a virgin. Well, when you read Luke, it's fairly clear that that's a completely irrelevant argument, isn't it? Now, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So it's not going to be some bloke from next door, or Joseph even, who does this. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. It's miraculous. Conception happens by God's power without sexual intercourse. Some people are saying, and you might spot this one on the internet, although please don't go searching for it. Luke is just copying an Egyptian myth. He's seen this picture on the side of a temple, and he's just copied that. Well, it's on the internet, and it's garbage. There is an Egyptian myth, and there's all sorts of myths about God's coming to earth and having sex with humans and things. But Luke's account bears no resemblance to actually what happens in the Egyptian myth that's been mentioned. And if you want another internet site that debunks that beautifully, ask me and I'll tell you. Now let me just bring something back against people with this. And this passage is important that it's there, that it's divine conception miraculously and by virgin birth, because it's important that Jesus needs to be human and divine. Without that, if Jesus is not both divine and human, then his death on the cross just doesn't work. If it's just a man who dies on the cross, then it's not powerful enough to cover all of the world and all of time. If he's just a divine being that dies on the cross, who isn't somehow human, he can't be our substitute and stand in our place. You need both. You need the one who is like us and dies for us. You need the one who is divine and has the power to die for all, once for all. And so, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." It's a miracle, and we are to stand in awe as we see this going on. For no word of the Lord will ever fail. So this Christmas, what will get your attention? Jesus. Please, not the angels or Mary or the distractions, but Jesus, the human divine Son, the eternal King. But how will we honour him? And now we hit the last scene of this wonderful event. We've had the visits with Gabriel visiting Mary, the greeting, Mary, you're highly favoured by God, the message about the Saviour, the Son, the Sovereign, the miracle of divine conception. And now we get the servant and Mary's wonderful obedience. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Isn't this stunning? She's faced with a massive idea, the likes of which no one has ever had before or been told before. No one's had a message like this. No one's been told something will happen to them like this. She might lose Joseph, her first love. She might get stoned to death for adultery when they see the bump appear. She's going to have a baby in her life much sooner than expected. And he's going to be Saviour, Son and Sovereign. Stunning. What does she say? "Sorry, I'm a bit busy. Or I've got a sister, can't use her. I don't think it's my gifting. I'm not really into children." No. She says, "Okay, God, you're in charge." Isn't that fantastic? And here we are, wanting to respond to Mary's Son, not to Mary, but to Mary's Son. And how are we to respond to Mary's Son? To follow her example. "Okay, God, you're in charge." Humble, obedient service. What a woman. Not to be praised in songs and glorified on paintings and have stories made up about how she died, didn't die, whatever. But another example for us of somebody who has lived for the Lord in humble, obedient service. So this Christmas, who or what will get your honour, your attention? Not the angels, please, nor Mary. Not all the stuff you can buy in the shops. But Jesus, the Saviour, the Son, the Sovereign, the Eternal King. And how will he get your attention? Let it be with humble, obedient service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing event. Thank you for Mary's humility, her trust in you and obedience. Thank you for the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he would be and has ever been. Work in our hearts, we pray, by your Spirit, to show us these wonderful things, to help us to trust them, to change our lives. Maybe it's contradictory in this world, maybe it's contrary to everything that's been blasted at us through the telly and YouTube and everything. But help us to walk with our eyes on Jesus, honouring him, giving our attention to him, humbly, obediently serving him, like Mary. In Jesus' name, amen.